Coming up today on The Balanced Word.
If someone is going to go after me, then God is going to step in the way. Now, a lot of times we wish he would step in a lot sooner, and David expresses that frustration a lot. But know this, God will take your cause. He is your hero. And he has already challenged those who would come against you. Now, maybe they think all they've got is a slap on the cheek. But be careful. When you oppose God and his people and you are challenged by God and you don't listen and you don't repent, oh man, it's going to get a lot tougher for you.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands and the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here.
Many a self-help specialist has made a buck or two by espousing a humanistic philosophy about handling the rough spots in life. In almost every case, their ideas center around picking yourself up by your own bootstraps or believing in yourself. Today on The Balanced Word, we'll look at the Book of Psalms and the real source of strength and comfort for handling trials. It's especially comforting for the Christian to turn to the Lord and his word in times of trial, just as the psalmist David did. Here's Pastor Dave Rolfe as we begin a study of Psalms 3 through 5 on The Balanced Word.
Psalm 3, the Lord is, well, here David is, it happened when he was running from his own son. What a mess. Absalom was taking over the kingdom and he had a lot of popular support. David could have fought him off, but the result there was that he would have had to kill his own son. And David wouldn't do that. See, David had had an opportunity when he was younger to take the throne by killing Saul, a man that God had anointed to be king. And David said, I'm not going to touch the Lord's anointed. David's attitude was, if God wants me to be king, then he's going to have to do it his way. I'm not going to make it happen. And so his heart toward his son Absalom was the same. I'll run, but I'm not going to fight. I'm not going to lift my hand against my own son. Recommend highly to you a book, The Tale of Three Kings by Gene Edwards. It's an incredible book that really nails these relationships down. David and Saul and David and Absalom. And every time I read the book, which I've probably read it 20 times, it touches me in a different way and gets my attention on some different things. But fascinating study as you look at these relationships. So here David is running from his son and he says, Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God. He said, everybody thinks I'm done. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the one who lifts up my head. God is the one who will protect us. And God is the one who, when our head is hanging down, he can lift it up. He'll put his hand under our chin and just allow us to look up and see him. And that changes everything. My glory and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard from his holy hill. Here he is. He's been under siege. He's chased out of Jerusalem. He's now back in the wilderness that he knew really well because he spent much of his youth there running from Saul. Now he's there running from his son Absalom. And David here says that I learned something through all this. I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone. You have broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing is upon your people. And so he says, you know what? I'm not losing sleep over this. Everyone thinks I'm done. And I could lay awake at night and worry about it. I so often expressed that when I was younger, running from Saul. But he said, you know, I've just learned that if someone wants to pick a fight with me, and I'm your child, then you're going to pick a fight with them. And so he says, God is going to has slapped the cheek of the one who is oppressing me, the ones. There are thousands of them. He probably was blaming the people who supported Absalom for this. But this is a great image. You know, the slapping of the cheek, it's a challenge to duel, a challenge to fight. An invitation for, let's get this over with, and blood will be the result ultimately. It's what the scripture has in mind as it says to turn the other cheek. The idea is if someone slaps you and tries to pick a fight with you, don't just jump into it. But here the imagery is a little bit different. He's saying, I don't need to go after the people who are after me, because what they don't understand is I'm on God's side. As Abraham Lincoln said during the Civil War when someone asked him, you know, do we have God on our side? And he said, really, the better question is, are we on God's side? And David understands this at this stage of his life. And so he says, if you want to chase me, go ahead. If you want to attack me, go ahead. But when God sees people who are attacking his children, God's going to slap you. And that's just the beginning. That's just the start. You know, I know there are times in our lives when we just wish we had someone to stick up for us. There are times when we feel like, I can't protect myself. And I can't protect people that I love. I so want to do that. And I keep looking for some hero to show up. And people that I look to as heroes let me down. They end up, well, they don't care as much as I thought they would. And here I am, kind of all alone and under attack. But David understood the lessons of the years, that if someone is going to go after me, then God is going to step in the way. Now, a lot of times we wish he would step in a lot sooner, and David expresses that frustration a lot. But know this, God will take your cause. He is your hero. And he has already challenged those who would come against you. Now, maybe they think all they've got is a slap on the cheek. But be careful. When you oppose God and his people and you are challenged by God and you don't listen and you don't repent, oh man, it's going to get a lot tougher for you. Because God is the one who strikes them on the cheekbone. Next time, it's a fist in the face, and he breaks your teeth. Oh, you didn't get it when you were slapped? You didn't get it when you realized you're not on God's side and you better change? Well, here, maybe you'll feel this. And so, whack. And so often, I think God even slaps us on the cheek. We're doing something wrong. Our heart isn't right. We're not spending time with him. We're not treating those around us as we should. Maybe we're doing something that's a sin, and God begins to convict us, and sometimes it feels like being slapped. And so often we think, that's just offensive. You're listening to on the radio to someone you don't even know, and they completely nail you for something that God has been wrestling with you all along. And so you decide, that's it. I'm not going to listen to that guy anymore. He insulted me. Watch out for those slaps, because if you don't get it with the slap, you may get it with the fist. And that's kind of the image here that David has. But ultimately, he says, salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing is upon your people. He's the one who saves. And not only that, he's the one who promises to bless his people. So the question isn't, okay, how do I fight my way out of this? The question is, how do I make sure that I'm acting like his person? I'm acting the way he wants us to. Psalm 4, as the psalmist now says, David writes, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. And then he goes into what he wrestles with often. How long, O you sons of men, will you turn my glory to shame How long will you love worthlessness and seek falsehood? But know that the Lord has set apart for himself him who is godly. The Lord will hear when I call to him. This idea of being set apart, it's also the idea in the New Testament of being sanctified, or even of there in Titus where it talks about that we are his peculiar people. We're set aside individually for him. We are special to him in his sight. That's who we are. And so David is saying, don't you guys realize who you're messing with? When you put me down, when you attack me, when you injure me, don't you realize I'm valuable? Now, this is a good question, and without going into a lot of details, let's face it, how do we treat the people who are God's special people, those who are set aside? The Bible says that we should do good to all, but especially to those who are of the household of faith. And when someone is a Christian, they should get our best treatment. Even if they are a member of your family who irritates you, even if they are someone in the church that you just, they've done things that have offended you, God says, those are my special treasures. I would have died just for that person. Be careful how you treat them. God has set them apart for himself. Don't you get it, David is saying. And then a little practical advice in verse 4. Be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. Paul quotes this over in Ephesians chapter 4, where he says, be angry and don't sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. This is a little different. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. The idea is the same. There are things that will happen during the day that make us mad, that insult us, that cause us to feel less than special. And we have been set apart by God. And the problem is very few people notice it. Preachers notice it when they talk about it, but then they don't treat us like we're really special so often. Friends can, you know, in the big picture, they value us, but in terms of small things, so often they treat us in a way that can make us mad because we aren't being treated the way we would really want to be. And the idea here is don't let that get to you. If you will allow anger to seethe within you, then that anger is going to come out and it's going to rip you off. And it's interesting, be angry and do not sin. Obviously, it's not a sin to be angry per se. But anger, like money, like the love of money, is the root of all kinds of evil. It's also interesting, there are people who have made this principle that says, we will never go to bed angry. Usually people who say that haven't been married very long. And it's a great principle, and usually at best, maybe one person won't be angry and the other one's seething. But it's not just that God is saying, you need to get your anger out. You need to try primal scream therapy or punch a pillow or get a punching bag and work on it so that you can get that anger out. Or before you go to bed, just tell this person everything that you're angry about. Let's face it, many of us have lost a lot of good sleep trying to get to the bottom of something that when you're so tired, you can't. It's not the time to discuss things. It's not like, okay, we're both angry and we're both exhausted. Now, we're not going to bed until we solve this. Go to bed. You don't have to. It's not saying that, oh, you need to work it out. I'm telling you, in the morning, you know, a nice plate of pancakes probably fix it all anyway. And so here the idea is, hey, don't just let this tear you up. But, and again, a good piece of advice, as he says, meditate within your heart on your bed and be still and put your trust in the Lord. The sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. So when you're frustrated and upset, go to bed, but begin to think about what? Begin to think about what you're thankful for. the sacrifices of righteousness. Begin to trust in the Lord. Pray to him and say, God, I'm going to give this over to you. And when we do that, you can sleep. Shut up, go to bed, think about it, give it to the Lord, thank him, bless him, take it as a sacrifice. And the result, he says that he'll put gladness in his heart, lift up the light of our countenance. And in verse 8, I will both lie down in peace and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. The person that you're fighting with doesn't hold the key to your happiness. The person that you are at odds with does not, they don't have the right to rob you of what God even wants to do in your life. And if you can't get to sleep because your mind is racing about something that someone has done, you're just not trusting God. Somehow you are saying, and this person may be a horribly cruel person, but if you let them rob you of your sleep, if you let them take away your peace, what you are saying is, they have control of my life. There are a lot of sick people in this world who are just addicted to controlling people. And sooner or later, you're going to come across one of those people. And they will be in a position, if you let them, where they can destroy your life. But it's God who gives us peace. It's God who gives us rest. And when you go to bed and you're thinking about something that makes you mad, the problem is you haven't thought of the one who really is supposed to be in control. And he says, I'll give you sleep. I'll take care of it. Remember, if a person who you care about has done something bad to you, you ought to be concerned for them. Because if they mess with you as a child of God, they're messing with God. So you go to sleep, and you give it to the Lord, and you put your trust in the Lord, and you'll sleep. Because it's only God who makes you safe anyway. It's not your burglar alarms. It's not your self-defense classes. It's not all those weapons in your closet. It's not everything that you do to make sure that nothing can happen to you. God is the ultimate security. And in the face of an enemy, we ought to be able to just rest, to have a good night's sleep. And I'm not saying every case of insomnia is a lack of trust in the Lord, because there are all sorts of other issues that can come to play too. But I know this, if I can't sleep, I want to make sure it's not because I'm not trusting God. And so I look at what it is that's going through my head right now and go, God, I want to sacrifice this to you. I want to commit it to you. Lord, you're the God. I'm the man. And you don't need me. I need you. And you promise that you'll take care of me. And so, God, I want to commit this to you. And so often, a lack of sleep is a lack of trust. And that's what David points out here. Psalm 5, there was a great song that was written by Bill Sprouse to go with the first part of this song. It's a beautiful scripture here. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Give heed to the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for to you I will pray. My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you, and I will look up. This was made to be played with flutes, so you have to get a little fluty background. And then it's like, God, here we are. It's early in the morning, and you're going to hear my voice. It's before dawn, and I'm getting up, and I want to talk to you. And I want to meditate on you. So, Lord, listen. Give ear to my words. Consider my meditation. Because I'll pray. My voice you'll hear in the morning. In the morning I will direct it to you and I will look up. I believe that it's very important to spend time with the Lord in the morning. Now, you may say, well, I'm just not a morning person. It doesn't matter. I'm not a morning person at all. But it makes such a difference in my day if I get up and spend time with the Lord right off the bat, or if I wait and spend time with him later. Now, if you like to spend time with God late at night, great. But I would suggest that also spend some time in the morning, even if you're groggy and out of it. Spend some time with him in the morning. There's something special about that time. And of course, the biggest thing is it starts your whole day. It gets you going. It's before everything else, it's putting him first. But not only that, God will sometimes speak to you in the morning and save you a lot of trouble that you would go through the rest of the day. Let's face it, most of the time that we spend all day long is wasted because we are trying to do something that doesn't work. We are trying to do something that just isn't unfolding the way we thought it would, and we get more frustrated and the timing just isn't right and we can't find the things that we need and we're frustrated. That's especially true if you get up late and you're hurrying all day. You're late to your first appointment and everything else after that is messed up. But if we are meditating on the Word of God and spending time with him in the morning and asking him, God, what do you want me to do today? What are the important things that you would have me focus on? Sometimes God will just lay something on our heart, and that thing will be so easy to do, and it will make the day worthwhile. If you don't get anything else done, that thing that he lays on your heart, your day's done already. You're in great shape. And so often I've found he can save us from meetings that will be a waste of time or endeavors that will just be, they just won't be blessed. And so spending time with him early is important to do.
Pastor Dave Rolfe with a good way to start our day. And you've been listening to The Balanced Word as we've been studying Psalms 3, 4, and 5 today. These programs are available by podcast at thebalancedword.com. Thebalancedword.com. We'd also like to offer you Pastor Dave's Through the Bible series on a USB thumb drive for a gift of $20 or more. Go Through the Bible with Dave by ordering this special series today. Call 949-362-7475 or go to thebalancedword.com. Your gifts help to make these shows possible on stations like this one all across the nation. Thank you for standing with us with either a one-time gift or ongoing monthly support. Donations can be made at thebalancedword.com or again call 949-362-7475. Have you had a chance to listen to Pastor Dave's one-minute messages? You can listen to those at thebalancedword.com and even join our mailing list so we can deliver them to you each day. You can also watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. We'd love to have you join us for a Sunday service at Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel. Our service times on Sunday morning are at 8 and 10. Directions and more information about the church can be found online at ccpacifichills.org. And you can watch our live stream there too, ccpacifichills.org. If we can pray for you in any way, we ask that you contact us through thebalancedword.com or by calling us at 949-362-7475. Now let's return to Psalm 5 for the rest of today's message.
In verse 7 he says, "But as for me, I will come into your house in the multitude of your mercy. I'm approaching you by mercy." He was talking before about wiping out people who are evil and they work iniquity. And in verse 8, "Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before my face." Again, starting out early in the morning and saying, "God, would you lead me? It'd be great, Lord, if today you could keep me out of the path of troublemakers. It'd be awesome if you could protect me from time wasters and from things that are not worthy of your plans for me today. So lead me in your righteousness. Make the way straight before my face. Help me to know what comes next." And he goes on to talk about these evil people again, their throat an open tomb. They flatter with their tongue. Pronounce them guilty, O God. But verse 11, "But let all those who rejoice put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor you will surround him as with a shield. Rejoicing, shouting for joy, because you know that God is going to come through. He's not talking about people who are celebrating after the fact. He's not talking about at the end of the day going, woohoo, some great things happened today. But he's saying, get up in the morning and spend time with God, and you'll see that you can rejoice already. You can begin to worship him and celebrate him because you know if people listen to him, he'll lead them. He'll bless them. He's going to give you a reason to rejoice.
We'll stop right here for today and cover some more ground in Psalm 5 tomorrow on The Balanced Word with Dave Raw, a daily presentation of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel, online at thebalancedword.com.
Wake up, my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands. And